And welcome aboard, everybody. Michael Cohen here with you on Fox Sports On the Road. A very good morning to you, everyone out there. And yes, it is the weekend of the big game. Everyone, of course, with their attention on Las Vegas, with the big game between Kansas City and San Francisco. But there's some news here in New Jersey. There is news that is going on in New Jersey that we're going to get something that could be as big, if not even bigger, than that kind of game that's taking place in Las Vegas. And that is the World Cup. The World Cup is coming to New Jersey, believe it or not, because for months we had thought that maybe Dallas would get the World Cup final. Maybe New Jersey was out of the mix. But no, lo and behold, MetLife Stadium will be the host city for the World Cup final. And what better way to talk about that than the soccer aficionado himself? His name is Dan Feuerstein. He is a host of the Feuerstein's Fire podcast, and he does a tremendous job online talking to numerous guests throughout the world of soccer. He, of course, also covers the New York Red Bulls, and we are very happy to have him join us today. Mr. Feuerstein, how are you?
Doing very well, Michael. Thank you very much. Very exciting time, of course, as we all know. The 2026 World Cup will be coming back to the United States, and we're going to be sharing it with both Canada and Mexico, north of us and south of us. And in this region they call CONCACAF, which stands for Confederation of North America, Central America, and the Caribbean Football. Of course, the world calls it football. We still call it soccer. So that's always a wonderful thing to know about. So it's very exciting and can't wait for it to come and be here in about 2 years.
So first of all, let me just get your own reaction. When you found out about the news that New York, New Jersey was going to get the World Cup final, were you surprised? What was your initial thoughts?
I was surprised, but at the same time, I've been really hoping that, you know, we here in the East Coast, especially at the Meadowlands and the New York, New Jersey area, that it was our time to host the final, because in 1994 was the first time we hosted the World Cup. It was over at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena on the West Coast. So I felt that if it was in Pasadena the last time the World Cup was here, then it should have came to the East Coast this coming World Cup. And I was very glad to hear the news.
When you take a look at what's involved now, I understand, of course, you've been covering the Red Bulls since the beginning. You've been covering them since they were the Metro Stars back in the late 90s. And I saw somewhere this afternoon that, that Red Bull Arena will be a host for practice and training as well for the teams when they come over here. What else have you learned about how Red Bull Arena and also, I guess, even City Field, for that matter, with NYCFC, how they're going to be utilized?
Well, I mean, what's going to happen is this. They probably won't be using City Field or Yankee Stadium, unless obviously some of the teams are going to be on the road, not playing at home either in the Bronx or in Queens. But what they will do is this: they will be using some of the other MLS stadiums, because FIFA, their watch, there should be no league games being played, period. So that would mean Red Bull Arena would be used down in Philadelphia. Subaru Park would be used. Also, there would be other stadiums and soccer-specific stadiums across the country that will be used in Major League Soccer, will be taking a break during the World Cup. They have no choice. They're going to have to do it, because even though they play mostly from spring till fall, they're going to be closing up shop for about basically a little over a month. So that's the only way that, you know, they won't lose any fans. And then once the World Cup concludes July 19th at MetLife Stadium, then MLS will restart their season.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit about the impact, because Governor Murphy came out and he says that he expects a forecast in the billions of dollars. Over 14,000 jobs are going to be coming to the area. So this is going to have a big impact on the local economy in New Jersey and New York. Just from your own thoughts, you know, how do you think this could impact this area with the World Cup coming here?
Absolutely, it'd be 20 times over. Because as I was saying, you know, it's not just the people that be, you know, residing or at least staying in New York City hotels, also in Northern New Jersey hotels, Central New Jersey hotels, the usage of obviously public transit, New Jersey Transit trains. What's going to happen is the economy is going to really get a boost with all these people coming over from around the world that are going to be purchasing the tickets, staying in hotels, buying, you know, going to the local restaurants. And then, of course, when they travel to the games, they're going to be ordering a lot of food, merchandise, tons of merchandise will be sold. Anything and everything is going to be multiplied 15, 20, even 30 times over the amount of money that will be spent to help with the economy in both the New York City area and the Northern New Jersey area. And don't forget as well, Southern New Jersey, because there will be some games at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia.
Right.
So it's going to be very, very interesting. And of course, the amount of games being played, especially at MetLife, there'll be 8 games played, including the final. In Philadelphia, there'll be 6 games played, including a round of 16 games, game which will be on the 4th of July. And some people have been saying and hoping maybe the United States will be playing on the 4th of July in Philadelphia to commemorate the anniversary of America. So that would be an amazing feat if that did happen.
You know, you mentioned NJ Transit. Obviously, the governor was speaking about having more engineers on hand. They've been graduating more engineers, you know, doing a different adjustments to Sea Caucus Junction. And they, of course, have had their, you know, chances to test this out. WrestleMania was a test for that. Obviously, the Taylor Swift, we'll talk about Taylor Swift last several weeks and last several months for different reasons. But when she had the New Eras tour here in the Meadowlands, those were obviously examples of what was involved as far as heavy crowds. So this is going to be tremendous in a couple of years. Now, MetLife Stadium's had this, and just this is kind of interesting because when the announcement came down, you see a lot of people kind of snicker a little bit, and a lot of the non-soccer fans kind of snicker a little bit. But soccer's a big deal here in this area; it really is. I remember a couple years ago when Ecuador, I think it was Ecuador, correct me if I'm wrong, played a friendly here against, I think it was Brazil or Mexico, I forgot who. Place was jammed. And then you had, obviously, last year with Manchester United playing Arsenal here, place was 82,000 with standing room as well. So when world football comes to the Meadowlands, people show up.
Yes, and they are based in London. You know, look, people need to understand this. And, you know, this is the world's game. And we have so many people, whether they were immigrants coming over here as far back as World War II, World War I, even further than that. The sport has always been a fabric in this area. And, of course, there's none other than Kearney, New Jersey. I mean, you have 3 players from the 1994 World Cup team, goalkeeper Tony Miola, midfielders in John Harkes, and, of course, Tab Ramos, that played at Kearney High School, that played in just did excellent. And watching them doing things, amazing things on the ball, especially Tab Ramos being an attacking midfielder, creative midfielder as well, for the U.S. men's national team and qualifying for the World Cup back in 1989 in Trinidad and Tobago, where they only needed, well, basically Trinidad needed a draw to take the final spot to go to the World Cup in Italy in 1990. And the USA had to win that game. And if not for Paul Caligiuri, who scored the amazing goal that rainbowed over the goalkeeper and into the back of the net down at Hazley Crawford Stadium in Port of Spain, Trinidad, then it would not have been the United States going back to the World Cup for the first time since 1950.
Mm.
So it's just been amazing to watch. And of course, if you have Paramount Plus, and if you are subscribed to it, they have the 3-episode documentary series called The Billion Dollar Goal, based on the history of soccer in this country from what happened at the start to 1950, the creation of the North American Soccer League, and then, of course, going up to that magical moment with Paul Caligiuri, like I just said. And, of course, we also talk about, sadly, losing Grant Wall, who was a part of the documentary, and unfortunately losing his life covering the Qatar World Cup back in 2022.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got a long way to go, as you've mentioned, and I know you've mentioned many times on your own show. It's a long process before we get to the World Cup and World Cup qualifiers and CONCACAF. But there are a lot of stars that people want to come and see, and that they're going to be thinking, hey, you know, if this certain team gets here, they're going to have this player. And obviously one name, of course, is Lionel Messi, who's one of the biggest players in the world. I saw that he was kind of, you know, he didn't want to talk too much about it. Just give me your thoughts about what would it mean to see someone like that kind of player here. Obviously, you've seen it from the Red Bull standpoint when he's in MLS.
Well, I will say this. He was here before when the South American Soccer Confederation, which is pronounced CONMEBOL, they held a special Copa America tournament. Now, the regular tournament was already played, but in 2014, but 2 years later, it was the 100th anniversary of the competition, and they wanted to have a special edition tournament, which would not really have counted. And Messi did play in it, and Argentina did get to the final, but lost in penalty kicks to Chile, who won the Centenario, the 100th anniversary tournament. But for him to, of course, once again, Argentina will be here for the Copa America this summer. Some matches will be played at MetLife Stadium this summer, but if he comes back with Argentina for 2026, and they are qualifying for it at this point in time, and those games will resume this upcoming September for South American qualifiers. Listen, it would be tremendous if he would continue on. And some are saying that the Copa America might be his final time for Argentina. Maybe this upcoming World Cup could be his final time with Argentina to be in the World Cup for them and defend their World Cup championship that they did in Qatar in 2022.
And what about Ronaldo?
Cristiano Ronaldo, I have a funny feeling maybe his time with the national team is over. He's currently in the Middle East in Saudi Arabia playing over there right now. Look, there's a European Cup that's also going to be played this summer as well. I don't know if he'll be a part of that, because if he is not a part of that, then I think his time for Portugal is done.
Mm. All right, so a couple more questions for you here. One, and this is the one that everyone just keeps talking about. MetLife Stadium, of course, is very infamous for injuries. And we all know they have a special turf called the Aaron Rodgers turf. So you all know. Too well, anyway. They're going to put grass there. So, I mean, can you enlighten our listeners a little bit about what MetLife Stadium, we think, may try to do here to try to alleviate concerns for these soccer teams as far as the turf is concerned at the stadium?
See, what they're going to do is this. You know, long time ago when Giant Stadium was around and they wanted to try grass, what they did was they brought in large square trays of grass, kind of like, you know, potted plants, if you want to say, you know, into MetLife Stadium, because they wanted to try and save injuries with, at the time, the AstroTurf before the field turf was created. So the issue is, of course, when you've got when the MetroStars played on that surface, it was fine. There was not a problem, because sometimes you'll play once a week or, you know, maybe sometimes twice a week, but the grass could regenerate. When the Jets and the Giants are playing, you know, at times you probably have the Jets on Sunday afternoon, and then you have the Giants at home on Monday Night Football, depending on the NFL schedule. The grass gets chewed up a lot worse because, you know, they're always digging in. So the way they're going to lay down the grass is this. They're probably going to put down a plastic surface over the field turf and then put down layers of grass. But the problem is that after a certain point, it's not going to stay fresh because it's going to turn brown because the roots cannot grab hold of the ground because of the plastic surface holding onto it. So at MetLife Stadium, they're probably going to have to roll out tons of grass per game that gets scheduled at MetLife Stadium. So I think that's going to be what's going to be used right now. Now, what I hope will be in the future, now I don't know if this will happen or not, but at Tottenham Hotspur in England, over at the Bernabeu, which is in Madrid, Spain, for Real Madrid. What they could do, if they do, now this will include both the Jets and the Giants to be involved in this, because
it's their stadium.
It's their stadium. It's Meadowlands, you know, has the right to manage it, but it's really under the perusal of both the Jets and the Giants. What they could do is bring in the trays of grass, but can slide it underneath for the UV lighting to keep it warm and growing at the same time if they choose to put in a concrete surface to slide in. So these trays can slide in, slide out from underneath, and then when it's game day, they can just put it out there. But as we've said before, you know, this is a difficult situation. Now, we all know SoFi Stadium has some sort of a hybrid grass, because both the Rams and the Chargers are playing on the field at the same time too, depending on the schedule by the National Football League.
Yeah.
So we'll see if something like that can happen. But, you know, just to lay out grass 24/7, honestly, it's really going to be tough, because, you know, unless they do what the Rams and the Chargers are doing at SoFi Stadium, that would probably be more of a better synthesized hybrid grass field than what the field turf is right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when they used to do the old trays. It was around 2001 or 2002 when they did the trays of grass, and it was just a disaster because it got chewed up. When they painted the end zones green or blue, it got to a point where it was blue-green. It was ridiculous. It was terrible.
It was, And I think when the Jets were in the playoffs against the Colts, and I remember the sideline reporter, Jack Arute, was really showing the chewed up, muddy grass. I mean, it was grass on top, but when you yanked it out, it was already filled with mud, and it was just terrible. The rain that came in, it was like a slop fest. Even though the Jets did beat the Colts, shut them out 41-0 under Chad Pennington as the quarterback, still, though, the playing surface, it was just not good, unfortunately.
And they haven't had a home playoff game since. But that's another story for another show. But last one for you here on the World Cup. Team USA, they disappointed last. I mean, they actually had a pretty good run last time, I believe, correct? What do you think they have to do, and we're still 2 years out, to try to get back and make a run at being at MetLife Stadium in a couple of years?
I mean, you know, if you've been following, if you're a hardcore supporter, fan of the U.S. men's national team, even for the U.S. women's national team, we have a golden generation right now. I mean, you have basically the majority of the roster, our American players are playing overseas in Europe. You have Christian Pulisic, you have Sergiño Dest over in Europe. I mean, Christian Pulisic is at AC Milan in Italy. Tim Weah and Weston McKennie is at Juventus, also in Italy. Ricardo Pepe is at PSV Eindhoven in the Netherlands. Giovanni Reyna just transferred over or traded from Borussia Dortmund from Germany now to Nottingham Forest in England. And, of course, you have Matt Turner, who's also at Nottingham Forest. Mm-hmm. They're doing some wonderful things. We're still developing great talent here in the United States at Major League Soccer. As of right now, you know, even though Greg Berhalter, who is a Tenafly native in New Jersey as the head coach of the U.S. men's national team, some of his results have not, his game plan has not really produced signature quality wins. And he has two tournaments coming up right now in March with the CONCACAF Nations League. He's got to take on Jamaica first before advancing to the final. And if they do advance to the final or the third place game, it'll be played against either Panama or Mexico. Jamaica has a better head coach right now, who managed Iceland, who in their run in the European Cup, of course, Thomas Christensen is the head coach for Panama, has done an amazing job with them too. Got to the final of the Gold Cup last summer. And then, of course, he's got the Copa America. He's going to take on Bolivia, Panama again, and taking on Uruguay, who's under a tremendous head coach in Marcelo Bielsa. One of the best South American head coaches right now in South American soccer, South American football. He's got his hands tied, and he really has to produce a quality run, not just here in CONCACAF, but over in the Copa America. But if he does have a good run there, and then he moves on and has a very good run in the World Cup, I mean, you know, he said himself, if he goes to the final with this group, whoever he picks for the national team, and it's in and of course he's a Tenafly kid, a Jersey kid, leading this team into a final for the World Cup at MetLife Stadium, it's going to be unbelievable. And let me also say this as well, Michael. In 1994, Giant Stadium had a grand total of 76,322 people in the 94 World Cup to see games.
Yeah.
MetLife Stadium right now, 82,500.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a difference, if you really think about it. It's a difference of 6,178 seats in the capacity between the two stadiums. So that would be a tremendous thing to see a filled up MetLife Stadium if the U.S. men's national team makes the final and wins it.
Oh, man.
For a local kid from Tenafly. That would be just tremendous.
That would be the story of the decade. Maybe the story of the century. It really would be. It would be that huge if that ever came to pass. We'll see what happens. We will see what happens when we get to that point. It's really going to be fascinating, Dan. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this is going to play out over the next couple of years. We look forward to seeing, obviously, I mean, you do a lot of great coverage on the Red Bulls. We look forward to seeing you there at the MetLife Stadium when this thing takes place. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be an amazing time, and this is going to be 10 million times bigger than what the 94 World Cup was, because once again, there'll be 11 stadiums being used in the United States. You're going to have two stadiums being used in Canada, and three stadiums used in Mexico. Canada will be playing some games in their country before moving to the U.S. Once they advance further, if they do. Mexico will be playing at home, obviously, at the Estadio Azteca, and then they'll move on to the United States once their games are done, if they do get out of the group. But once again, this is going to be a tremendous – it's going to make the 94 World Cup look like nothing compared to what the 2026 World Cup is going to be for soccer in this part of the world.
It really will be fascinating. Folks, that's Dan Feuerstein of Feuerstein's Fire here on Fox Sports New Jersey. You're listening to Fox Sports on the Road. We're back after this.